where the creative capacity of students are launched. And thankfully, at Ensign Global College, every student has the opportunity to have their creative.
I do. We have very limited. Thank you very much. So I can see the recording is in progress now. We have very much limited time to connect with our brothers who are also Ensonians. So the new terminology is Ensonian. If you finish Ensign Global College, you are now called an Ensonian. And this is a term that our president, Professor Alda, crafted for us as family. So I would allow them to introduce themselves, tell us a bit about themselves and then what they currently do. Unfortunately, we have very limited time, so we'll try to be as brisk as possible. If anyone has any questions, they can lift up through the raise hand function on Zoom, or you can type into the message box and I'll try my best to help and present your question. All right. Okay, so we'll ask Francois Chimon, if you can tell us a bit about yourself and what you currently do.
Thank you very much, Edward. Good to see Gideon. Good to see AK. It's been a long, long, long time. So as Edward said, my name is Francois Chimon. I'm originally from Cameroon. I'm a big Afro-optimistic person. I believe in Africa. I believe that we have what it takes to develop our continent. I'm a physician by training, specialty dental surgery, head and neck surgery. That was my previous life. Work experience as a physician in across Western Central Africa, Senegal, Ghana, Cameroon. And so I did my MPH in Ghana with Ensign College. And actually it took me about 2 years to transition into full-time public health experience and work. So today I work with the Global Fund. The Global Fund is the largest funder for global health around the world. Global Fund was created in 2002, and so far Global Fund has invested about $50 billion across 100 plus countries across the world. 74% of our investment is in Africa. We are focusing mainly on the three main diseases, which are TB, HIV, malaria, and recently we have also invested quite a lot on COVID response, and we are now also focusing a lot on health system strengthening. So we also work in Ghana, so there's a huge investment in Ghana, so I'm pretty sure each of you in one way or the other have benefited from Global Fund investment. So yeah, I'll be glad to tell more about what I'm doing later on, but
thank
this
you.
Is me and
yeah, thank you very much. That was very interesting. Awesome. You see, we have a big brother at a very big place. He's currently now based in Geneva, Switzerland. Yeah. All right. So now we'll move on to Gideon. Gideon, can you tell us about yourself and what you currently do?
I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Okay, so let me say it's good to connect with my colleagues once again. I'm really happy about this initiative from Ensign College and by extension, Dr. Sutherland. So I am a biologist by training, first degree. I'm a biologist by training, and I quickly moved into public health after my first degree and got my Master of Public Health degree again from Ensign. And then currently I work with the Ghana Health Service headquarters, specifically the Emergency Operations Center. So over there, I provide epidemiological support for the department and as well research support. So at the moment I'm on the COVID-19 response team. I put together the national situational report. For those of us who are privy to Ghana's COVID-19 response, I'm sure we know the Ghana Health Service website and the figures that are published on a daily basis. I lead the team that puts the data together to publish on the website. And then let me say, I still have strong connections with Ensign, so I cannot speak without mentioning Hell to Go. So I still serve as a project coordinator for one of Ensign's principal community health and intervention programs, which is Hell to Go. I've been on the project since 2017, and it's been a great experience. So I'm hoping that as time goes on this call, I'll get to share more of my experiences here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gideon. By the way, Gideon happened to be my roommate as well when we had Ensign. Yeah, anyway. So interesting. Anyway, all right. And Ike, now we have Ike on the call. Ike, could you tell us a bit about yourself and then what you do? We'd love to hear more.
Please, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, good afternoon all, and a special afternoon to Gideon and Francois. It's just a pleasure meeting you guys, even though it's on Zoom. I hope that one day we'll all meet in person when COVID has subsided. So my name is Ike Onyema Obi. I'm a Nigerian, but I'm based here in Ghana. I'm a businessman. I've been in the public health space for some time now because I do waste management. This is something that is very dear to me, which is helping the young ones achieve financial independence before 40. So I hope that by virtue of our discussion today, I'll be able to share some of the things that I have learned through the years, some of the things that has helped me also, and a little bit part of the journey also with everyone on call. So I'll leave the rest till our questions start flowing. Thank you very much. And the name of my company is Nisi Guide Ghana Limited. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So with our session today, we have an entrepreneur, a businessman, business-minded person trying to connect public health with business. And then we also have with us leaders and professionals, and Francois and Gideon, who are at various organizations in Ghana and then also in the NGO world. And so I would like to remind everyone that if you have a question, you can either lift up your hand using the reaction function, or you can also type in the chat bar any question at all. But then let me just flip onto the much more casual aspect. Is there any experience at Ensign College that you remember very much that you have is very dear to you? What was your experience at Ensign College like? So I'm just moving around again. Francois, can you tell us something an experience at Ensign which you will never ever forget?
Yeah, Edward, I mean, experiences at Ensign are so many that I don't even know which one to pick. But I would say on the academic side, I would say the thorough program that is taught at Ensign. Sometimes we think that, the best students are those attending Harvard, Chalmers Public School, or what are the other ones? London School of Tropical Hygiene, you can name them. You know, sometimes we have that focus, that belief that it is only those in those big schools that actually acquire the right skills in public health, but I can assure you that my core knowledge, again, it's at Ensign, and it was delivered by top-notch, academic. And that is something really exceptional. And today, basically, I'm just building on what I learned at Ensign, and I just kind of updated with additional trainings that I could share later on to get to where I am. But the core of my knowledge and experience and skills, I gained them at Ensign. And so that's the academic side. I would say for the social aspect, I think one thing that I really loved at Ensign was the fact that in my class, in my cohort, I mean, everyone was very supportive to one another. And it was really what helped us, especially me at the time I was in Ghana. I was working as a doctor and also attending classes. So sometimes it wasn't easy for me to balance work and studies, but I have very good friends in the core that actually supported me. And I think one event that I really loved was the matriculation day. You really felt that you belong, you have not entered a big family belong to something. I think the matriculation day and then the graduation day are the two key events for me that really I'll never forget.
Yeah, thank you. That was nice. And for me, I think Francois, I used to worry Francois a lot. Whenever I saw him on campus, I'd be like, bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Comment ça va? Francois actually speaks perfect French. So I was actually practicing my French with him. Anyway, okay, thank you, Francois. That was nice. So let's see. We have Gideon. Any experience?
All right. Edward, I thought you were going to mention you were fluent in Russian. Add that. Yeah.
Yes, I speak Russian. Yeah.
Too. And you have strong connections with the country.
well, for now, please let down. No.
For now, right?
All right.
Okay. So with my experience with Ensign, let me say, the moment I really loved a lot about Ensign was the seminars the school organized. So right from the start, when we entered the school. Let me say, I personally, I didn't have so much experience when it came to attending seminars and let me say by extension, public health seminars. But at Ensign, right from the beginning, we had working with communities to identify infectious diseases. We had a WASH seminar which was led by Professor Benson. And these were all important, let me say, milestones in my academic and professional life. Getting to hear people present, especially at a very, let me say, I call it infant stage, my infant stages in public health, was really, really inspiring. So I took a lot from these presentations that were organized. Subsequently, there were some that were organized prior to our graduation, and I got the chance to present. And in fact, I don't want to begin with my history with presentations because when I started, let me say, I was a bit reluctant to present in my findings in most cases. But I think the Ensign experience gave me a lot of confidence. It built me up. It built me up in terms of being able to speak in public, and that was massive in my life, honestly. Because now I'm able to speak, and people think that I've always been like this, but that is not the case at all. So it's been massive. The seminars at Ensign, top notch, and I think every student should be able to take advantage of these things that are organized by the school. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I think we are all living testimonies of that. So actually, I'm just thinking in my head, Francois and Gideon are saying everything, almost everything. So now, Ike, have they said everything or you still have some other experience you want to pass on?
You know, the interesting thing is that on our matriculation day, we had a very, very interesting event. So I was told to give a speech on behalf of the class. So I asked, what was the context of the speech? I was told that we should just say what we love and what we don't like. I'm like, okay. So I went to the class and I asked everyone in class, what do you like so far being in school? So everybody told me what they liked and what they didn't like. So I took it, summarized it. So the speech I was to give that day, and I used that to do the speech, my brother. It was a lesson that retrospectively, I will not dare such a thing again. But at the same time too, it made me aware that when you are given the opportunity to speak, you need to know your audience and know what matters to your audience. But aside that, SIN has given me a lot of opportunities. Through SIN, I got to do some projects in WASH extensively, worked with Strange, saw a lot of the sanitation side I didn't know much about. Like you're saying, Gideon, the exercises we do in class where you have to present and stuff like that, and when you finish, your colleague and the lecturer would correct you and say, okay, do it this way, do it that way, that's better. So today, if I'm in the office and they're doing presentation, just the things I have learned, I'm able to tell my staff, oh, you don't do it that way, you do it this way. It's better presented this way. It's not that I learned it anywhere, but I just learned it in class. Ensign is like a second home for me. I always come here to relax and re-strategize, free the mind. I just like the environment from the very first day I stepped in. So sometimes I'm like, instead of traveling to Europe, I might as well just come here and stay, because you have everything that you need. So as for my experience, it is still continuing. Francois, you're in Geneva now, so you have to hold on a bit before you come back to enjoy again. So it has been a good experience for me, though. I'll pass over to you now, Sandra.
Thank you. That was very interesting, and thank you for sharing those intimate stories with us. I remember that day, the matriculation day. Yeah, and true, Ike usually comes on campus. You can see him around, sipping his tea, reading books on big business stuff. I've seen him on the cafeteria sometimes. All right, okay. So, I want to remind everyone that this is a free session where we get to talk to each other. And if you have anything, any question on your mind related to anything at all about the public health space, feel free to raise up your hand. I'll give you the opportunity to talk, or you can also write in the discussion the chat box, and I'll relay your question. We have very limited time. Francois has just about 30 minutes to spend with us, because he has other urgent stuff to attend to. But then let's see how much we can make of the time. So, Ensign, actually, we have now got three pillars, which are innovation and entrepreneurship, community engagement, and then leadership and professionalism. And we also have student groups which have been formed to help drive these three pillars. So we have the change makers and then the change drivers. So every student is actually a professional. Most of them are already professionals. They are now gaining public health professional, even experience. And we want to ask you, do you have any advice you want to give to students who graduate from Ensign? What should they be looking out for? How can they be able to navigate their career so that they can be able to attain or reach their goals, or have a well-established career? Do you have any advice for us? We'll start with Francois.
Yeah, thank you.
Just Edward. A minute, Francois. Just before you go on, I have a question from Emmanuel Asare to you directly. He's saying, were you with Global Fund before Ensign?
No.
So maybe you might want to address that even as it speaks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Asare, I was not with Global Fund before Ensign. When I came to Ghana, I was just a physician. I was just a medical doctor. Which actually enrolled or registered with the Ghana Medical and Dental Council. So I went through the process of getting license and to practice in Ghana. And after that, I was able to practice in Ghana. I actually worked for about 2 years at the 37 Military Hospital as a house officer. And then later on moved into private practice. Next question, how can you help build the link with Ensign in student practical placement, like in the case of ASHES? Very good question. I think I will come back to that. Just allow me to answer Edward's question. And the question was about advice to give to students, right, if I'm correct?
Yes, that's right.
So I will really speak about my case. I think to be able to work at global level in the public health space, you need three critical expertise, I will say. The first one obviously is what you acquire through Ensign. So the knowledge, you need that knowledge, you need a strong background in statistics, epidemiology. Those two topics are very important, essential, and the rest so that you will learn, they are very important. So you need to have it very well. You need to master some of those critical areas, statistics, epidemiology. Those are foundation of public health. The second aspect is, for me, that was an advantage, is language. Today I'm bilingual. I'm both fluent in French and English, and that is a huge asset. So I will really invite each of you here, if you really want to move into the public health space at global level, you must be. It's not an option. It's not optional. It's a must. You must be fluent. It could be English, Spanish, English, French, English, Portuguese, to some extent, English and Chinese, but either Spanish or Portuguese or French, those are the three key languages. One of them, you must be very fluent on either English and any of them. So bilingual, that's the minimum. The more you can speak languages, the better for you. And the third thing that I will mention is flexibility. Why I'm talking about flexibility. Sometimes, and for most of us, when we completed Ensign, we have some kind of, ideas, or let's say career plan. Let me put it that way. Some say, yes, I was good in statistics. I want to pursue statistics. I was good in epidemiology. I just want to continue on epidemiology. But please just note that you need to be very, very flexible. So me, when I graduated from Ensign, I had my MPH. I moved back to Cameroon and I actually started working in operational research for an implementing partner funded by PEPFAR, so on HIV. That's really where I started, really in the field, in the ground. I was doing data collection, etc. But because I joined a project that was already well established and there was already key people, critical people, in key positions, it was challenging for me to kind of move up the ladder within the organization. But I quickly realized that there was a gap in that organization. And the gap there was thorough data analysis, because what they were doing was just basically collect data, write some reports, and send to the funder. But there was nothing behind. And this organization have been collecting data for years, but no one has never sat down one day and started doing some thorough retrospective data analysis to see the trends on HIV services, to see the trends on index testing, to see the trends on some of the HIV strategy that have been implemented, male circumcision, PMTCT, et cetera, et cetera. So when I quickly realized that doing M&E could not really lead me to something, I switched to data analysis. So when people were in the field doing, moving up and down across the country, I locked myself in a room and I was doing analysis, data analysis, and I started writing abstracts, which eventually led me to publications. And that's how my journey started. And then from that organization on HIV, I ended up with WHO, went to DRC, conducted the national review of HIV testing services for DRC, for the entire country. I spent 3 months there. I traveled across the country, met all the partners, and come up with a report that actually was used to inform the new national strategy. Then from there, you know, flexibility again, because here I'm talking about HIV. Then there was an opportunity with Clinton Health Access Initiative on what? On malaria. Then I moved to malaria, worked with CHAI for almost a year, build up some skills and knowledge on malaria, and later on ended up at the Global Fund. But even when I joined the Global Fund, because today I'm working as a public health monitoring evaluation specialist, I will speak more about that, but I joined the organization as a senior program officer, and I was doing mainly program management. I never did program management before, so I had to learn, again, flexibilities. So I had to quickly learn program management skills at global level and adjust and adapt to the functioning of Global Fund internally. And then gradually I was able to move to my core main role today, which is public health. And my role today is to sit with all programs, all partners in country from PEPFAR to WHO, UNS, et cetera, and discuss and design programs, HIV programs, TB programs, malaria programs. We put resources on almost everything in a country. So flexibility is very important. And the final point is adventurous. You must have an adventurous mind. Don't limit yourself in what is happening only in Ghana or in Western Central Africa or only in Africa. You must have an open mind. Always reading news, always reading around and trying to add value into what you are doing. There's a lot of opportunities in public health, but the competition is also very tough. If Enzyme is producing about 20 to 30 students a year, there's one single public health school in India can produce 100 or 200 in a year. So the competition is very high. So for us, we need to be very flexible and be ready to sacrifice a lot and learn also a lot. So those are my three advices. So core knowledge, you will get it from Enza, 100% sure. So if you sit close to someone that has been trained in London School, don't think that you have a low level MPH. No, you have even more than the person. And I talk based on experience. I've sat in rooms with people trained in Harvard, in London School. But when you read some of the analysis, I can tell you that sometimes it lacks substance. So get your skills very well. Two, learn another language. English is good, yes, but if you can be bilingual, at least that would be fantastic. Three, be very flexible. Don't just say, okay, I want to be epidemiologist and I will just stick on that. No, be ready to do WASH today HIV tomorrow, malaria another day, human rights the next morning, etc. Very flexible. And the final one, just be very open, have a very open mind. I'll stop here.
Thank you very much, Francois. That was very interesting. In fact, I was listening to every single detail. Knowledge, what, language, flexibility, and what, being adventurous. Awesome. And thank you for navigating us through your career paths and how you are able to be where you are right now. All right. I think someone also asked a question about, or that one you may want to touch offline. How can, or online, if you want to address that, how can you help build a link with Ensign in student practical placements like the case of Ashes?
Maybe I'll come back to that question. What I can say is that I think it's also up to the school to kind of build a system where, you know, alumni like us can be sharing opportunities. Okay. And now mentoring people or those who have interest on those positions to let them understand what are the requirements, how to prepare. If you're not ready this year, don't think that, no, it's you have missed an opportunity. Maybe okay. You need to go and attend this specific course, grab some experience in the field, go and work with Gideon in his unit for 6 months and don't ask him for any money. But get the skills and the knowledge. And at the end of the 6 months, ask him for a recommendation for a letter. Don't go and ask him for money. Don't go and tell Gideon, I've come in today. It's been 3 months. I'm in this unit. Even transport, you have not given to me. No. Those are some of the things that you should be doing. Mm-hmm. You gain that knowledge, you gain that experience. And tomorrow, Gideon will be happy to recommend you, to write a letter of recommendation. So that's how it works. So for us, for me, I can support, I can share almost every single day. I come across a lot of opportunities.
Great. Mm-hmm.
From a lot of organizations. But I can only share to a platform, maybe give the link. Someone at Ensign can post it there.
Yeah.
And if a student is interested and now wants to understand how to get to the position, I can do some coaching, some mentoring behind the scene. But I'm not a recruiter. I'm not working in any HR department. Yeah. So I can't guarantee anyone a job.
Yeah, that's true. But
I can explain to you how it works, you know, getting a job at WHO, getting a job at the World Bank or Global Fund or at Chai or at PATH, I can help you to understand the recruitment process, how it works.
Yeah.
But I cannot offer you a position, unfortunately.
Thank you for being clear about that. So please don't write Francois and ask him that he should offer you a job position. He can't offer you a job position. He can only give you guidance. All right. Okay. So maybe we'll look at another session like that where we can have some guidance on how to explore these avenues for alumni. Okay. I think someone is saying she can't hear anything. And Naomi, an ugly. I think it may be coming from your end. Naomi, saying, I want to check your headset or your laptop. I think a lot of people are a little bit confused about what Ashes is. The case of Ashes, maybe some would, Emmanuel Asare, would you want to throw light on what the case of Ashes is? Are you online, Emmanuel? You put the question there.
I'm online. Your question again, sir.
Okay. So what do you mean by like in the case of Ashes? For clarity, so that people understand what it is.
Yes. You know, for Ashesi University, what they do.
Oh, okay. Imagine Ashesi. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Ashesi. So, what they do is that they link their students to organizations, international organizations, and whatnot, where they do their practical sessions like we did in the district directorate and all that.
Okay.
And most of them have the potential of being absorbed after they complete their education. So, that is where my question was. It was
okay.
In that direction.
Okay. Thank you.
Once Francois is there, if we could have that link with Global Fund where we can have practical attachments and that.
Okay. I think your I, the letter I didn't count, so we didn't appreciate it as Ashesi University. But I think the answer has, is direct. It hits right on the point. We have to be able to what look for the adventures, look for volunteer opportunities where we can get the experience that we are able to show when we are applying for job positions. And then also we will try and then create avenues where we can learn how to apply or how to approach these opportunities in the market. Anyway, thank you very much, François. That was very much on point. Knowledge, language, flexibility, and being adventurous. All right, Gideon, the phone is in your court. Do you have, just so that we are aware, we have about 15 minutes with François. He's got some other things to attend to. So if you have any question for François, this is the time. You can put it in the chat box or you can raise up your hand even as we go around the session. So Gideon, what do you have?
In terms of Edward, how many minutes do I have? So I'm leaving.
You have
10 minutes.
Yeah, you 10 minutes. You can do 10 minutes.
All right.
Except okay, that if anyone wants to get any information from François, this is the time. They should just type it in the chat box. But with the others, I think we can move on for about 30 minutes, 1 minute. Yeah, right.
Thank you very much, François. As you were speaking, I was actually taking notes, especially the language part. It's one part that I'm really seeking to develop, and I've learned that it is so important here at the headquarters, and again in public health as a whole, international health. So it's a great point, and I'm glad you mentioned it on this platform. Okay, for me, I usually like to model the advice I have around my story in public health. So basically, when I was in school at Ensign, what did I do? Well, I was like, this was me, a virtual novice in public health. I didn't know anything. I didn't know dot. And so I was like, maybe I can start by learning, because I knew the classroom wasn't the only business when it came to public health. So I had to go out there. So what did I do? I took on an internship. I walked to the dean as at that time, and I said, "Hi, professor, I want to learn more about the public health industry. What do you think?" So with the help of one lecturer we had, Dr. Phyllis and Dr. Tete, the dean as at that time, he linked me to the Ghana Health Service. And that was when my story started. But prior to that, let me say, I had a passion for writing, scientific communication. So while in school, I was developing my writing skills. And so I took it as a, let me say, as a role or as a mandate to keep writing, to try and sharpen whatever I want to do. And believe you me, it's one of the best decisions I took in my life. So that being said, the very first point I want to mention on this very platform is you need to develop your skill. Whatever we are doing in class is very good. In fact, it's so crucial. You have no idea. Because when you get to the field, you will see ghosts of what you are learning in class in the public health field. And so you will really have to take it very seriously. Now, by extension, you really have to develop your skill. I am glad the previous presenter mentioned data analysis and stuff like that. So things like writing a basic report is so crucial in public health. Because guess what? If you are sent to do an assignment and you don't come back with a report, it means you haven't done anything. That's what it technically means. And so your report is like a testament to what you did. So basic things like report writing, presentation skills, data analysis, and then evaluation. Let's say you have a public health document. Read and then give your submissions on it. Critical reading is also important. So the first thing I'll really mention to the current students is develop your skill. If it's your writing skill, if you're interested in scientific publications, you really have to write. I always say the best way by learning how to write by writing is by learning how it is done. So what do you do? You start reading your manuscripts, learn how things are outlined, the analysis are presented, the results sections and what have you, and then you'll be good to go. In fact, your first one may not be good. I remember my first publication when I took it out there, the reviews I had were heartbreaking, but well, you had to cross the T's, dot the I's, and make sure that everything was on point. And so developing the skill is so, so important, and it has to start right from school. The next thing I would say is now you have to show the world what you have. After developing your skill, you have to show the world what you have. And it is not just by you going to seek for a job or you waiting for someone to come and employ you. They have to see it. In fact, there are so many, a lot of people have done public health, but you need to be known for something. You really need to be known for something. So what do? You have to sharpen whatever area you're looking at. I'm glad our previous presenter mentioned flexibility. While you are being flexible, you really have to make sure that you are sharpening whatever you are doing. It's very, very important. There are public health gurus out there, you'd be surprised. When I started working, I met some amazing people I have learned a lot from, and they are masters in their field. So one of the things you want to do is to make sure that you are on top of whatever you are doing. And what is it? It's practicing. So while you're sharpening your skill, you're making sure they are showing the world what you have. And that takes me back to scientific publication. Maybe your final year thesis was on reproductive health, was on, let's say, epidemiology, was on nutrition, and you want to publish it. It's a great step. It's a way of showing the world that this is what I did. So if, let's say, me, Gideon, I want to see, let's say, what Francois has done. I've heard of Francois so many times. What do? I want to go online and research on him and see what he's doing. Assuming he didn't put whatever he did online, I don't think I'll have the opportunity to see. I don't think the world would have seen Francois if he did not have a representation of what he did on the internet, because that is what connects the various public health professionals across the world. So in fact, your employers will research about you. For that one, it's so crucial. So when they go to Google, they don't just want to see your Instagram handle. They don't want to see only your Facebook, your Snapchat, and what have you. That is not critical at that point. At that point, it is what you have done in your field. So I'd say that you develop your skill, data analysis, report writing, presentations, program evaluation, and then you show the world what you have. As part of showing the world what you have to take on volunteer jobs, like internships. It is not always about I finished school, so I have to start taking my CV around for a job. No, it's not enough. And in fact, it won't help. it won't help immediately. Some of you may be lucky with finding jobs and all that, but it won't help immediately. And then again, let me go back to my story. So I was on internship at the Ghana Health Service since 2015. And guess what? Because I had sharpened my writing skills, I was writing papers with the director as at that time in meningitis. I didn't know so much about meningitis when I left school. So I got to the disease surveillance department and I noticed meningitis was a big deal in Ghana, because it's a disease of outbreak potential. So then I grabbed their meningitis data, and I started scanning through to see what I can do with it. And I was like, hey, I can publish. And then we put papers out there, two of them. So what did my director see? He was like, oh, he was impressed with my writing skills. And he was like, there is a job opening with the CDC on data for health policy. So Ghana has a, let me say, a public health bulletin where they release every week. And so they needed an editor on that. And guess who was there? It was me. And it wasn't magic. I had to demonstrate it. I had to demonstrate it during my internship that this is my skill. I can do scientific communication. I can write manuscripts. I can publish them. I can actually lead an editorial. And so the boss notices all these things. So when you step out there, it's about what you can do, the skill. In fact, when they are advertising jobs, they put it there. After they finish with your BSc, MSc, PhD and all that, then they put their skills down there. It's about what you can do. So that one is non-negotiable. So I would say develop your skill. In fact, sharpen it. And after that, show the world what you can do. Show the world what you can do. You don't need a job to do that. You just, once you have internet, you have what you learned in public health school, you can write. Come on, get out there. Put out manuscripts. Put out manuscripts. If it's a PhD you want to do, you still have to put out manuscripts because they are going to see what you've done, what work you've done to any other PhD position. So that's the little I have to say to our current students. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gideon. That was very insightful. Actually, I can say that I am a living testimony. I saw what happened to Gideon all the way through to where he currently is. Gideon also, he hammered what Francois said. And then he added volunteerism, which Francois had also mentioned as well. And then visibility, make yourself visible. You have to make yourself visible. Interestingly enough, this morning we had a session on personal branding at Ensign. And that is also a way of actually showing who you are and what you can do. I think Francois is almost about, he has just a few minutes to leave. So I'll just give him time to also give us his concluding messages and then we can go on briefly before we end the session. Yes, Francois.
Thank you, Edward. Gideon said it very well. And I can also relate to what he said, because earlier on I mentioned that I joined WHO, but the truth is that I never applied for WHO position. And it's really about what Gideon said. Someone somewhere saw a publication. I was the corresponding author and wrote to me and asked me if I could have time for a chat. And 3 months later on, I was in DRC on the field.
Wow.
That's how it happened. I never applied for any WHO position.
Yeah.
And this is really something that not only students at Ensign, but everyone should also really understand what Gideon said. Putting publication out of quality, we need to also stress on that, because there's a lot of journals out there, but aim for those with high standard. Even if it's just only one publication that appears in those journals, I can assure you that people will notice you. And one way or the other, people will reach out to you, especially for us Africans, because the truth in the public health space at global level is that you get to an organization like the Global Fund, 60 or 70% of the people working here are white, but their experience, they get it from Africa. So they get their experience in Africa. And they come to our programs, they work with us, but you, when you close in at 6 p.m. and you go home, you are chilling with brothers and drinking a star beer, the guy is sitting in his hotel room and writing the reports. And when he's back to the US or in France or in Belgium, 2 months later on, it is a publication. So that's the truth of the story. And I can't really stress on that enough to say that put your work out there, but aim for high standard quality, not just publication for the sake of publication. But publication, even if it starts to take you 2 years to put one paper out, it's good to take those 2 years and put your paper in the Lancet or somewhere, because that's where the visibility is, rather than having 20 publications in 2 years that is just across some journals in India or whatever. It will not help you. So aim for high standard. Me, my publication went straight to the Journal of International AIDS Society. That's the best in HIV around the world. I had 3 publications that went there, published, and 3 months down the line, I was working with WHO. And so my final word, and I think there was one final question for opportunities. I think I've mentioned that my final word is really to encourage all of you, all the students. I've dropped my email address in the chat. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to support. As I said, I may not give you a job, but I can help you to maneuver or to get your way in the space of public health. I will say it again, there are a lot of opportunities out there, but the competition is very high. And if you want to excel at global level, start by excelling at national level, then at regional level, and then you move on to global level. Opportunities are there, and I'm hoping to see all of you somewhere up there with me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Francois. In fact, I'm virtually clapping on this call for you. I think everyone is clapping with me at the same time. Thank you very much. So we have actually gotten a lot of information from you. I can see someone is even clapping there virtually. And we hope to connect with you and have a series of mentoring sessions as well for students who are about to graduate. So on this note, we are most grateful and we wish you all the best, even as you join your next meeting.
Thank you.
Au revoir. A bientôt.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. And wish all of you a good rest of the day. And one final word, I really miss the Banco in Tilapia.
Don't worry, we'll prepare some for you when you visit next time. Okay, all right.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, okay. All right, so I think we can continue with the call. We have Francois jumping off the call for another thing. And Gideon also gave us his insights, which are very similar to what Francois said. And I think I read somewhere, I was also in another presentation somewhere, which said that most of the jobs that people get is not through interviews and other things. Most of the jobs are really underneath. It's more like the iceberg phenomenon. It's just a few which are giving us interviews, but then the other ones is through who saw your work and what evidence the person saw, and the person thinks they are capable of doing it. Then the person reaches out to you and tries to connect you and all these things. So please, let's try and increase our visibility. And those who missed the personal branding session this morning, you actually missed a lot. Kindly try and catch up with your colleagues and then see how best you can increase your visibility in terms of the public health space. All right, so if you have any questions for Gideon, kindly raise up your hand or you can type in the chat box. We have about 30 more minutes to go and then we will end the session. But then I'll ask Ike to also give us advice for us.
I've really written down a lot just listening to Gideon and Francois. Very interesting hearing the journeys of others. Please, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
Okay, so one of the things I would like to share with the students is problem identification. you know, we complain a lot of the times in this part of the world that this is a problem and that is a problem. But wherever there is a problem, it means there's an opportunity to shine. It means you could create an economic value, because the whole essence of having a business is to solve a problem for someone. So in your little space, where you live, where you work, what problem are you identifying? It could be at your workplace. If you can identify problem and come out with solutions to them instead of complaining and whining and all the time being in that zone, but you are in this other zone where you want to take advantage of problems to provide solutions. Once you do that, that is technically being in business. So how did I get into waste collection? I remember those days, each time I walked through the streets of Accra, there's a lot of garbage all over the place. The bins are overflowing. I mean, I keep asking, why is this way? What is the problem? I had to start researching to know why the problem was the way it is. Then I found out that people were willing to pay for the service. Then I found out that it is easy to do. Not that easy per se, but if you put heart and mind to it, you could get it done. Just by barely being aware and noticing the things around you, you are already a step above your colleague. You could use the same principle for where you work. Maybe when people get to the hospital, it takes a long time before they accept. If you come up with creative solutions in order to solve that problem, you are indirectly advertising yourself at a workplace. When you see where the bottlenecks are at your workplace and you try to figure out how we can do it and do it better, yeah, you may not be paid initially for it or something, but someday an opportunity will show and everybody will know that you deserve it, because your actions are tied into the growth of where you're working. So do not join people that are always complaining about where they work and stuff like that. But try to figure out a way to make the workplace better for the clients, better for your fellow workers. Find a way to cut costs, you know, creative ways to do the things that you need to do. When you do this, you are indirectly showing forth that you are the person to count on. Then I'll touch a little on what Francois and Gideon have said, which is the flexibility part. Remember the first time I went to work for Trent? Like they say, when you volunteer to do a job for free, you never know what will come out of it. It pays. Yeah, somebody will say, so how do you get to work? You need to pay transport and stuff like that. Yeah, it's all part of life. Sometimes you just have to. If you have to walk, walk. Because if what you're looking for is on the other side of trekking or working, I don't see anything that is preventing you from doing that. I did a lot of jobs for them when I was there. Of course, it was the intention, but I went over and beyond. And I'm reaping from that very association with them. Be very flexible with things. Do not be caged in. You know, some of us, we get to the workplace, you do the same thing after 10 years or 5 years you've been where you're working. nothing has changed. Everything has been the same way it has always been. Even if they ask you, why are you doing this thing this way? You would always reply, ah, but that is the way they said I should do it. It's a sad thing that we lack people that can take initiative or even ask questions to better things. If you really want, and I speak as an employer, if you really want to better your chance at the workplace, you have to be able to take initiative. When your boss asks you to do something, I bet you 99% of the time, they know the answer to what they ask you to do. For you to come back and say you don't know, never do that. Because immediately you do that, he knows he can't rely on you. Always give, say what you think should be done. Never say you don't know or you have not done it before. Always give it a try. Always push. Try to better the system. Try to be good at what you do. Try to observe and figure out ways to make things better. Hospital. Sometimes you get to the hospital, and that's why most times I don't like the government hospital because the reception, the treatment. Sometimes you wonder if you have annoyed the nurses or something. But then again, you don't know who you are treating. You don't know what relationship could be built on being nice to people. You know, I understand the work can be a little bit. Lots of pressure, the working environment is not what it's supposed to be. Yeah, that is what you have, but must you be angry about it every day? You could take the other route where you decide, in spite of all of that, to work cheerfully, to smile, because you don't know the network you're making with the person you're treating. Just by being nice to the person, they can say, oh, I know somewhere, can I recommend you somewhere? Because you are different. So if we are able to do few of these things, ability to identify problem, figuring out what will make it better, be very flexible, never ever try to put yourself in a place where you either do things the way they are done or you just fold your hands and like it doesn't concern you. Show you are interested. Show you are keyed in into making the environment where you work better. Believe me, when there is an opportunity for growth for someone, there is no debating who that person should be. Because if you constantly make the life of your boss better, anywhere they go, they will carry you. If there is an opportunity, like Gideon has said, they will introduce you to it. Because in life, there's a door that you can never open. Somebody above you would have to open some door for you. It doesn't, no matter how intelligent or how gifted you are, certain doors, you can't open it on your own. Somebody can open it for you and say you come in. So if you're able to do these things, yeah, it might be difficult. There's no time frame for it. It might not work for you too. But it's better to be on the side of angels because instead of being on the other camp where they're always complaining and doing things just the way they are, you are on this side where you are constantly improving the process, constantly working on things, making sure that things are going on better and getting on well. I'll stop here and I'll wait for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ike. So you have also added another dimension to the whole thing. Again, you hammered on what Gideon said and also hammered on what Francois also said. And these are very important. But then you also added you added salt, more salt to it to make it much more tastier. We're talking about problem identification. We should not complain, but we should be able to see how we can take the initiative to be able to make things better.
and even give us your personal experience about seeing waste and how you can also make a business out of it, how you can create a change. And I think this directly falls or aligns with our groups as change makers and then change drivers at Ensign. And also our one of our main pillars at Ensign is focused on innovation and entrepreneurship. So you are actually a living example of innovation and entrepreneurship in that aspect as an Ensignian. All right. Okay, so another thing that we also hammered upon is relationships, seeing how best we can always be in good relationships with people we work with, especially with our bosses, since they always are the people who give us recommendations as to where our next steps will be. As at this time, we are almost ending the session. So if anyone has any question, kindly raise up your hand at the reaction section button. I'll see you, I'll call you, you can ask your question, or you can also type your question in the chat, message chat. Within the next 5 minutes, if we don't have any questions, we'll assume that we are all satisfied with this session, and then we can comfortably conclude. All right. So as we wait for any questions, we can actually do a recap of what we have been doing this SRC week. This SRC week has been unique. It's the first SRC week, with a maiden SRC week for Ensign College of Public Health. And it was an idea which was brought together by the SRC, current SRC group, and they met with faculty. We decided to take it up and then make it happen. And so it has happened. And we are looking forward to developing it further so that next year we will have people from who have graduated Ensign, alumni also join and then come and join us at homecoming. And then we are also looking at having our friends and partners from Utah also joining in to be with us. I can see a message from Coco, who is the SRC president. She says, thank you all. It's so such an eye-opener. Today has just been the best and wonderful with all our resource persons. Thank you, our alumni, for spending time with us. So this is just to express, she's giving out her gratitude on behalf of all the students. We know you have so much to do, but you took time to come and connect with us, and we are so very grateful. I think Ike is on campus now. So if you see him on campus, you can easily approach him and talk to him. I can see he's actually either in the administration block or somewhere there, hiding somewhere. I know where he is, but I won't give the location. Go and find him. And Gideon is also at work right now. We appreciate you and us, and Sonians. We hope to connect in person sometime, someday. So on this note, I would like to remind all students that we have a student forum from 3:30 to 4:30. Kindly be present, as faculty be present to interact with you. Have a great day, and you can feel free to reach out to Gideon, feel free to reach out to Ike, feel free to reach out to Francois, and guess what? They are actually in the Ensign email. So all you have to do is just type their names and they'll come in the Ensign email button and you just shoot them a message. Have a good day. Bye.